What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Candid, a podcast by Swatch and AMDA. I'm your host, Grace Brown, and as always, I'm so happy you're here. So it's actually been a little bit since I have spoken on the podcast or had a podcast out where I was the host. But I'm so grateful that Kinsey could fill in last week and kind of explain everything about the fashion event and just a little bit about herself as well. She is a great girl to have on the podcast. I loved listening to it, and I hope you guys did too. But yeah, I've been kind of a little MIA on social media, and I posted a video on TikTok about it just because I've gotten some questions and DMs and comments on a few different videos and pictures on Instagram. So just addressing the whole thing, but January is always a hard month for me, and I feel like a lot of people can relate for this, just because it's kind of like the post-holiday blues, if you must describe it that way. And you know, it just is, there's a lot of anxiety in the month of January. The sun is still setting so early, which I try and do tips, especially the tips that I give y'all in my podcast, if that makes sense, to kind of help with the seasonal depression. But it's hard sometimes. And, you know, going back to school is difficult because you're starting a new semester with classes. And it's just a hard month. It's hard to make it through. But I'm trying to make the best of it. I came back to school last Monday. And I explained this in my video as well. I came back to school, and I got a call from my mom saying that my grandmother wasn't doing well, and just randomly she had a heart attack. And she was in really good health, and it was very unexpected. And it really brought up a lot of PTSD because my dad last August had a heart attack too. And it was difficult. Later that day I found out that she passed away. And I'm really at peace with the whole situation now because she is back with my grandfather. And yeah, so I just got back to school 2 days ago this week, and it's kind of been a whole roller coaster. I don't have classes Monday, Wednesday, Friday, so those will be my recording days and content days. But I also am working for the university this semester doing the social media for Auburn Campus Recreation. And it's a really cool program because there's a whole team of people, and the office is really neat, so I'm really looking forward to that. On today's main segment, we're going to be covering freshman year and kind of how to beat the freshman year sadness and talk about the freshman year sadness that a lot of people don't talk about. But really, any of the stuff that I'm going to be talking about or the advice that I'm going to be giving is for any age. So definitely stay tuned for that. Jumping into trend of the week. Is it a trend or will it just end? Today we're going to be talking about maximalism. So if you're unfamiliar with maximalism, it's just kind of using a ton of colors, a ton of patterns, and just mixing a bunch of stuff together, whether it's in clothing or home decor. And it's been a huge trend ever since last year, but it's really, you know, having its time to shine right now, and I'm absolutely loving it. I'm going to go ahead and be honest. There's no shocker here that I love the maximalist trend. I love it in clothing, and I'm trying to incorporate more in my clothing, but it's very obvious in my decor, especially my room. I have a ton of colors, a ton of patterns, just so many different things because I feel like it describes my personality, and I love it. There's a lot of ways that you can incorporate maximalism into your style or your decor at home, but it's really about finding what you like when it comes to this certain style. I definitely love the red and pink mixture and anything really rainbow. And you know, there's pros and cons to the whole thing. One of the huge pros is that maximalism makes you happier. The colors and prints, it can be overwhelming, yeah, but it's scientifically oh my gosh, guys, I literally cannot say scientifically. It's scientifically proven to make you happier because of things like color theory and how they make your brain react. So that's a huge pro for it. It's also kind of like one of those things where you can describe yourself or exclaim yourself. I don't even know if that's a good word to use, but I'm really into it. There are reasons, of course, why people are not into it, and some of those cons would be that, yes, it is a big trend, and being a maximalist is very bright and bold, and it's not something that will really stick around time and time again. Like, it's not a staple piece, so it's not exactly sustainable, and that's why I try and be really conscious. Why can't I speak today? Like, I'm just all over the book. I don't really know why, but it's I'm trying to make subconscious decisions when buying pieces that one day I can pass on to my daughter or something when the trend comes back, or buying from a better company. But I think everyone should take part in it because it truly does make me happy. And if it's not something that would make you happy, don't do it. My only really big tip for this is definitely try and shop sustainably so you're not just buying fast fashion pieces. Because, you know, it's not something that's going to be around forever. It's not like you're going to be 80 wearing neon pink and neon green together. I mean, you might. You might be there. I might be there. But just try and shop sustainable if you're going to be doing this. And try and think of things that will be fun to pass down to your daughter one day, even though that's a long time away. Or things that you can just give away or sell or buy secondhand. Let me know what y'all think about maximalism. You can hit me up on Instagram, TikTok, anywhere. Email. If you go to Auburn, just hit up my Auburn email. That'd be kind of funny, honestly. Could you imagine? I kind of hope one of y'all does that. Reach out to me on my Auburn email. It's really easy to find. Anyway, completely shifting gears. Today's designer of the week is actually going to be Helmut Lang. And the reason I say completely shifting gears is because Helmut Lang is known for simplicity. And I'm talking about him today because I was organizing my closet and I saw this t-shirt that I forgot I bought this summer from Helmut Lang. And it's really cool. I'm going to try and style it around these pants that I got that are very maximalist and wear it to class one day. But basically, Helmut Lang is known for bringing streetwear to luxury fashion and making things like jeans, designer jeans. He was like one of the first people to make designer jeans. He's notably known in many rappers' songs because he's very popular, like I said, in street style and streetwear. And he's inspired a lot of people like Raf Simons, Rick Owens, Kanye West, and Virgil Abloh. And I think that's really cool. So he pioneered minimalism, especially in the 90s. That's what he's known for. And he invented the designer jean. I know I already said that, but I just think that is so neat. He brought this to the market. Everybody was obsessed with it. And he really changed the name for design and kind of like the language of design and what could be considered high fashion and what could not. In a way, though, I do get a little mad at this, even though I love Helmut Lang. I think in the era that we're in, we should be producing cooler, higher fashion. Like, instead of Gucci charging $400 for a t-shirt with their logo on it, if it's high fashion, I think there should be more technology involved and more than just a logo. Like, I don't really like all this minimalism, especially for the price tag. Like, I hate that people are paying $400 just for the Gucci logo. But back to my point about Helmut Lang. He's a great designer, and if you have never heard of him before, please look into him. It's minimalist, it's trendy, but it's also very minimalist. Once again, I cannot talk today. But it's not minimalist in a way that's like trendy forever and classy and a staple piece. It's just very streetwear. Please be on the lookout for my outfit that I style around this t-shirt. I'm going to post it on TikTok for sure. And I actually started a style Instagram called Styled XGB, aka Styled by GB, Styled by Grace Brown. And the reason I started this is I still want y'all to keep up with my life on my regular Instagram, but mainly I just started this Instagram to kind of link everything that I wear, just so it's not only on TikTok, because TikTok is kind of hard to navigate when you're looking for specific pieces from specific people, and that just makes it easier. So yeah, I still want y'all to keep up with me on my regular Instagram. The styled one is just for links and fashion and things I love, and kind of keeping y'all more in the know without completely annoying my Instagram followers that I'm just friends with from college and stuff. So jumping into the main segment today, I'm going to be talking about college advice, freshman year, just really all of it, and kind of how to get through all of it, because it's not as easy as everybody makes it seem. And I don't know. I don't even know how I've really made it through myself, because I've had a lot of ebbs and flows, but I guess that's just kind of how life is. I obviously have very supportive parents, and they've always been there for me, which has helped a lot. But a lot of the parenting that my mom does is very figure it out on your own. And I'm very grateful that she's always been that way, because it really helps me put things into perspective, I guess is a good way to put it. I'm actually getting a call from my best friend, so. Hey. Okay, I just got off the phone, but I thought it would be kind of funny to leave that in, because the first story I'm going to tell about freshman year and kind of the advice about freshman year is about who just called, and she's my roommate, one of my best friends, and it's really funny because we did not have like the best start. Obviously, I liked Emily and she liked me, but freshman year is just so awkward. Like, I did not know how to converse with other people and be myself, because I just do weird things, and so I was kind of putting on a show. I would put it that way. Like, I was kind of putting on a show my freshman year, and I'm the first to admit it. We joke about it now, but me and all my roommates, when we did hang out and say if Emily let me have a bite of her food, I would be like, I can Venmo you right now. Like, I'm really sorry I had a bite of your food. Like, I can Venmo you, like, literally right this minute, because I kind of felt like I had to earn my friends freshman year. Because, you know, your high school best friends are just the people that you grow up with, and that's why you're there, your friends. But I was like, felt like I had to earn my friends in a way, or like give them something for them to be friends with me. And so obviously they thought that was very weird. And like, we all look at it now and laugh, but it wasn't until my sophomore year, first semester, and they invited me to come over with a few of my other friends, and we were like, you know what, why not? And that night I just was like, I'm just gonna be myself, because that's what my mom told me to do, and I did. And I'm not kidding, they've been my best friends ever since. It is like a flip just switched in my life, and it's been so fun. And they really do enjoy like my real personality and my natural personality, and like the weird things that I do, like the fact that I love musicals. I just think that's kind of weird, and like they love that. So my huge tip is, don't try and put on a fake persona for your freshman year, because people will call you out and notice it, and they'll think it is weird. And I'm so glad that I put myself in an uncomfortable situation to just be myself, because the people who would like this fake persona are not my friends in the first place, you know what I mean? And I was stuck in a situation where I had friends that liked this fake personality. But thankfully I found my roommates, and they were like, you're weird, but we love it. So I wanted to answer some more specific questions too. So on my Styled by Grace Brown Instagram, I left a poll up last week for 24 hours. Or I guess it's not a poll, it's a question box, whatever is on Instagram. For college advice, life advice, freshman year advice. And I got a lot of responses, which I'm really happy about. So I'm going to answer all of them and kind of just do that, because I feel like that's really targeting y'all and what you want answered. So the first question I'm going to answer is, how do you meet people other than your sorority? So I've kind of talked about this on here a lot, but it wasn't until my junior year, which I absolutely hate, like I kick myself in the shin every time I think about this. Is that the saying? Like, you kick yourself? I don't know. But I didn't really get involved until junior year with people outside of my sorority. And I think the reason why is because I got so comfortable with my sorority. And I just, you know, when you find comfort in things, you tend to stick around. So one thing I really recommend is being friends with the people you meet in your classes, because those are the people that have similar interests in you and are educated about the same things as you. Whenever I put my submission in for the magazine is when I really became submerged with the apparel merchandising community. And I'm so glad I did, because I started going to events with them, started sitting by them in class, and it just made everything so much easier. So when you reach out to people other than your sorority, and especially the people in your major, it makes your life easier in school and just a million different things. But if that's not something you're interested in doing, which I don't know why you wouldn't be, but because it really is so helpful, there's so many different things on campus that you can get involved in, and every college campus just wants the students to be involved. They take so many measures for people to get involved. And I actually kind of have a funny story about this. So for the past 3 years, like, this is embarrassing. I really shouldn't be talking about this. But I was like trying to get involved. I'm always trying to get involved on campus, I guess you could say. Like, not exactly in like student government or any of that, but just like the fun different events, like going to the movie night that they have. So for the past 3 years, I've been following the AU student whatever. And it wasn't until this year that I realized I had been following Anderson Universities, which is in South Carolina, or Anderson College or whatever, or I guess it's Anderson University because AU. I've been following their Instagram for the past 3 years, and Auburn's too. And obviously I've gone to the ones that were posted by Auburn. But I was like, how did I get these confused? And but the point by my point in this is that they would have all these fun events. I was like, oh my gosh, they're going ice skating. This is so fun. And really, the whole time I thought it was Auburn, no, it was Anderson University. So that's kind of embarrassing. But basically, what I'm saying is like every university wants you to get involved, and it's easy to make friends that way. And you know, if you want to get involved in SGA, get involved in SGA. It's never too late. If I've learned anything these past 2 years, it's never too late to get involved. Someone asked, how do I cope with FOMO? This one I'm still trying to figure out. I struggle with FOMO freshman year and sophomore year. And the reason why is because freshman year I wanted to go home every weekend, but then I would come back and be sad because I would hear about everything everybody else was doing. And it was hard. It was really, really hard. But at the same time, I had to really put myself out there. So I also had FOMO because I looked at my other friends in college at different schools, and they had different rules than we did, so they could have more fun. And that was hard. It was really, really difficult. And I still had FOMO my sophomore year. But thankfully, I had a friend group by then, so I literally never went home. I went home like once a semester. And it wasn't till the end of my junior year where I just did not get FOMO anymore. And the reason why is because I really became overwhelmed with a lot of things I had going on, because I knew I wanted to do something, I guess you could say, like bigger than college life at the time. I really wanted to grow on my platforms, and I really still do. And so whenever I miss out on a fun night out and have FOMO, I'm thinking back to myself, you're growing your platform. This will be very necessary and very good for you in a few years. And even though it's just one night, you know, who cares? It's not like you're having FOMO and it's going to be the night where like Justin Bieber shows up at your local town bar, or your friends run into Mariah Carey on the street. I don't know why I said Mariah Carey. I would not be that baffled if I ran into her, to be honest. No offense, Queen. But you know, it's just, you really have to put things in perspective. Is it that you're missing Justin Bieber? No. You're just missing the same night that you can make 1,000 more times with your friends. And I hate to put it like that because there are some nights that are really memorable. Definitely partake in the things that are extremely fun. But if you're doing something to help yourself out, or you're not going out because you're struggling with a little bit of anxiety or mental issues, then put it into a better perspective. Like, you're taking time for yourself that's needed. Okay, next question. Is it hard finding all of your classes? This one made me laugh so hard. My freshman year of college, first day, I got so lost, and I also lived in the hill, which if you go to Auburn, you know, is kind of further away and up a huge hill. And it wasn't until the third week that I realized that there was a cut through in the hill. So, yes, it is hard finding your classes at first and kind of figuring out your way. But once you do it, you're set for the rest of the 4 years. And usually the colleges have a map on like an app. So it's super easy and super accessible to use. So, yeah, it's hard, but also like, it's kind of fun. It's a learning process, like everything kind of is in college. And one thing I really recommend for this is make sure you just sit in the same seat every time. Like, if you find a friend in that class, y'all plan to sit together or walk together. And yeah, I always, before every semester, I always look at the people who are in my class on the little people button. If your college has that, definitely use it. It's really useful. So the next question is, I'm going from 20 kids in a class to 150 plus kids in a class. How do I adjust to that? So I went to a very, very big high school. I've kind of talked about that on here before. I could tell a million stories about my high school. It was a public high school. I loved it. It gave me a lot of life lessons. Like, people would cut their hair in class and you could just leave school whenever you wanted. It was very developmental. Is a good word for it. You really had to teach yourself how to live. Anyway, I didn't really experience like a huge adjustment from college because I just kind of felt that way already. Like, I didn't know everyone I went to school with. But the whole adjustment thing is your classes are definitely smaller in high school than in college unless you're going to like an actual huge school like the ones they have in Texas. But something that really helps you adjust to that is developing a relationship with the teacher. I hate to sound like your mom. I hate saying it, I swear. But, like, it really is helpful. Just the first day of class, go up and introduce yourself to the teacher after class or before class. Or email them. Go to their first office hours, whatever. And then you will be treated like one of the 20 because out of 150 people, only 20 are going to make that effort and do what you do. I literally had a failing grade in a math class my sophomore year, but because I was friends with the teacher, she helped me, like, get my grade up so much. And, yeah, that's just kind of like a life lesson now, is to treat your teachers with respect, but also form a relationship with them, and you will be one of the 20 who they care about and check in with. Someone said, I'm a freshman and still feel like I don't have a friend group. Is that normal? Advice, please. Girl. I hate the word girl. Why did I just say that? But yes, it's normal. It's extremely normal. Everyone puts up this fake facade that freshman year is the best year of your life. And for some people, it is. But for me, it was not. It was like one of the worst years of my college years. Sophomore year was my best year. I finally had my friend group. I finally felt comfortable in my own skin. And, it was cut short. It was because of COVID, but that's fine. Not all good things can last forever. There's obviously been perks of every year, but it is 100% normal to have a friend group. Don't rush it. Be yourself. I already give a lot of advice on this. Just don't be fake and be yourself. And that's how you'll find your real friends. And sometimes it takes putting yourself out there and meeting girls for lunch. I went on a lot of dinner dates, a lot of lunch dates, after class dates with people to be friends with, and they weren't all my friends. They aren't all my friends. Like, you just have to find your people. And I know that's easier said than done, but what's meant for you will come to you, and sometimes you just have to put yourself out there. I got multiple questions about how to know when a college is right for you and what to look for when you're looking at colleges, so I'm basically going to answer this with a story. You won't know. There's no way to go through the college application process, the college touring process, any of that, and knowing exactly what you need. until you get there. And what I mean by this is, I've told this story on here before. Clemson was my dream school. I was going there. I was completely set on it. And I got deferred. And it sucked because I wanted to go there more than anything in the world. And I was so sure that if I got into Clemson, all my problems would be solved. And I didn't. And then that was just one problem on top of all the other ones I had, was not getting into my dream school and being so embarrassed as well. No one ever talks about that. But I kind of had to let my ego take a break and sit down in my pride, kind of be like, whatever, I didn't get in, I'm going to suck it up. So I came to Auburn. I literally have never toured Auburn. I never have, like, in high school, anything. I just went. And I did not know it was the right place for me until I got here. And it has somehow fulfilled every single need that I've ever had. It is such a good small town vibe, but there's a big student body, so you can get involved in a million different things. But also not small town enough to where everyone gossips about each other, which is really nice. There will never be anything specific that will be perfect for you in a school. No school is perfect for you. You have to be perfect for the school. And what I mean by that is, like, you have to put yourself out there and just really pick the place that you can see yourself thriving the most. And even if you can't see that at one specific place, just pick and go. And I promise it'll all be fine. People never transfer from Auburn. And if they do, it's not like an I hate Auburn thing. It's usually like a I want to go in-state thing. It's normal to transfer schools, obviously, but you kind of have to really make sure to get involved and put yourself out there to love a school. You can fit into any school anywhere, I think it's just all about applying yourself. I'm going to wrap this podcast up today because I don't want to ramble for too long, and I do go on tangents sometimes, so I don't want that to be a common occurrence in my podcast, and I do want to be very straight to the point. So I really hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast. I love talking about freshman year. And I want to get you guys more involved on my podcast. I love giving advice. I love answering your questions. So if you want to stay more in the know and be more involved with the podcast, my content, or really anything, just follow Styled by Grace Brown. Which another funny thing is everyone thinks my last name is Brownie. That's just like a nickname. But yeah, it's actually Brown. But I don't care. You can call me whatever. It really doesn't matter. Once again, I'm rambling. But thank you guys for listening. Once again, I always enjoy hearing what you think of the podcast. So reach out, let me know. And, you know, just DM me if you want to talk or give any advice for what podcast you want to hear in the future. Thank you so much for listening today to Candid, a podcast by Swatch and AMDA. I'm Grace Brown, and thanks for being candid with me.